How can a young man keep his way pure? It's a question that the psalmist throws out there at the beginning, but it's not a rhetorical question, okay? He's got an answer in mind. He knows the answer to it, and he's presenting the answer right there in the next phrase by guarding it, by guarding his way according to God's Word. This is how he keeps his way pure. And I want us to focus this morning on this idea of way. That as I studied this and kind of processed it, it just seemed to me that God was speaking to me about the way that we are to go, a pathway. But when you think about the word way, there's a couple of shades of meaning to that word. Way, it has the meaning of a pathway, a direction. I know the way from Perry to Cleveland. You go Route 2 to 90 and all the way down to Dead Man's Curve and you're there. That's the way. So way has that one sense of meaning of a pathway. But it also has another shade of meaning. Way also means manner. Like he has a way about him. She has a way about her. He has a way with words. So there's these couple of different shades of meaning that I want you to keep in your head as we walk through this today, because we're going to hear this word way. I want to delight in your ways. How do I keep my way pure? In the way of your testimonies I delight. So keep that idea of way and those two meanings as way, a pathway, and way, manner. He has a way, a characteristic. Okay? As we keep those things in mind, I want also for you this morning to make a connection. This is a hard line, beeline connection. I want you, anytime you hear the word way, I want you to run to John 14:6 in the New Testament. Let's turn there real quick and let's establish this as the connecting point. John 14:6, Jesus is speaking here. It's a very familiar passage you'll note as soon as I read it. I'm going to read verses 1 through 6. Okay? Jesus says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I am going." And then Thomas says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way. I am the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Jesus is the way. Okay? He's the way. He is our way. He's our pathway to God. There's not multiple ways, okay? Not numerous paths to God. Jesus is the path to God. He's the revealed pathway to God. He is the Word incarnate, okay? So Jesus is our way. So when you hear the word way here in Psalm 119, 9 through 16, and other places you see it in the Psalm, immediately associate way with Jesus. Jesus is the way, okay? How can I keep my way pure? How do we as Christians keep our way pure? We keep our way pure by living next to the way, by getting close to Jesus and living in Him and living with Him, letting Him guide us. He is the way. That's how we keep our way pure. That's how we guard ourselves according to your word. Now, that's another association I want you to make, and it's also in the Gospel of John. We keep our way pure by guarding it according to your word, okay? What verse do you think I'm going to go to? John 1:1, right? Who's the Word? Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word, capital W, was God. Okay, so Jesus is the way. Jesus is the Word. We keep our way pure by by identifying ourselves with and living in Christ. And we keep it pure by guarding it according to your word. The word made flesh dwelt among us. I am the way. Jesus is our way to God. Okay, so that's the pathway side of the word way. Jesus is our way to God, our pathway, our means, our access. But he's also the manner. He is also the way that we are to live. People says, Paula has a way about her. It ought to be a Christ-like way about her. It ought to be a Christ-like character that people are able to see in her life and in every one of our lives. Jesus is the way to live. He's the manner in which we ought to live. Okay, so those are just a couple of word associations that I want you to make with way and the word word, okay? Our purity is found by living in Christ and like Christ. Now, this phrase guarding, we're still on verse 1. You keep our way pure by guarding it according to your word. Let me ask you this. Do you have a defensiveness about your heart, about your soul, about your manner of life? You ought to. You ought to be defensive. You ought to be guarded about your life. Every one of us ought to. We need to guard our way according to God's word. When we see things in the world that we think, that's probably, if I get involved with that, that's not going to please God. We need to guard our heart. We do that by keeping ourselves in touch with the Word, but we're blessed also to have the Holy Spirit, right, who lives within us. He convicts us of sin. He confronts us according to the Word of the Lord. He guides us into all truth, which is the Word. The Word of God is a weapon. We hear this analogy to the sword of the Spirit, right? The Word of God is a double-edged sword. It's a defensive weapon. We need to use it. We need to wield it in our lives. When we see things that come against us that are contrary to God, we need to chop it up with the Word of God. Look at John. If you're still in John, I hope you are. John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all the truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is Mine. Therefore I said that He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. This is the work of the Holy Spirit inside of us, the one who dwells within the life of the believer in Christ and applies God's Word to our lives. Okay, so we have this benefit as Christians, New Testament Christians. The Holy Spirit of God is in us. We talked about this last week. Not just on us. Like in the Old Testament, that David says, you know, that your Spirit is on me. You know, the Bible says that the Spirit was on certain people. But then God could take the Spirit away. And David prayed, don't take your Spirit away from me after he'd sinned. For us now, the Spirit is in us. God's not going to take Him away. He's in us to convict us of sin, to apply the Word to our hearts, okay? With my whole heart, I seek you. Verse 10 here. With my whole heart, I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. None of you would commend another person, whether it be your children, your employees. We wouldn't commend another person for a half-hearted effort at something. You see your kid putting forth a half-hearted effort on their homework, making bad grades. You're not going to come, good job. Good job, Mallory. D+. No, it's half-hearted. She's not putting forth a full effort. I'm not saying you got a D+. I hope you're not making any D's. But listen, we don't commend half-heartedness. Why would we think that God would commend half-heartedness in our lives? In our life for Him? He doesn't. No, He expects wholeheartedness. With my whole heart, I seek you. Notice this. This is the second verse that we're looking at today. The second verse that we looked at in last week's passage, right up the page a little bit. Blessed are those who keep His testimonies, who seek Him with their whole heart. The psalmist is really emphasizing the idea of wholeheartedness in our devotion to God. This is an important thing for him. It's an essential thing for him. Half-heartedness, might as well not even try. Might as well not even make the effort. God desires wholeheartedness. Psalmist isn't seeking to be wholehearted because he's wanting to be religious. He's not seeking religion. He's seeking God. He doesn't want to satisfy God. He wants to be satisfied in God. And when he is fully satisfied in God, God will be satisfied. God will be glorified. Let me not wander from your commandments. Again, bringing back that idea of a pathway. We're on a path. Lord, let me not wander. Let me not veer off of that path. There's brambles and thorns and traps and snares over here. There's pits over here. You got me on the path, Lord. I'm on the path of your word. Don't let me wander off of that. I don't want to wander off of that. I don't want any of you to wander off of that. Don't go venturing out. We're going to talk about that more in a little bit. Let me not wander from your commandments. You know what? If we are seeking God with our whole heart, we won't. We won't. We won't want to. Because there's nothing off the path that's more appealing than what lies at the end of the path. And that's Christ. I have stored up. Some of your versions in verse 11 here may say, treasured. I have treasured or hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Again, word, immediate association. Which verse? John 1:1. I have stored up, hidden, treasured your word in my heart. Now, I don't want you to begin to detach and disassociate the word, capital W, Jesus, with the word. We know nothing of the capital W word of God, Jesus, without this word. Okay? This is where we meet him. This is where we encounter him. This is where we are introduced to Christ. So I have stored up your word. This is what the psalmist means in my heart, that I might not sin against you. But we know that the whole point of this word is the word. W. Kind of looks like a W. Big W, Word of God, Jesus Christ, incarnate, made flesh to dwell among us. Are you treasuring Christ in your heart? I hope so, man. Why? That I might not sin against you. So that my life would be a reflection, an accurate reflection of your character, Lord. I don't want to sin against you. When I sin against you, I defame you. I bring shame on your name. I bring contempt on your name. When I live outside of your character, when I venture off the path and chase the things of this world, Lord, that doesn't please you. That delights you not. Back to this idea of storing up or treasuring the Word of God in your heart. I read a book this week. It was by a Catholic author, by a monk, actually, on a practice called Lectio Divina. Has anyone ever heard of the term Lectio Divina? It's a Latin term. It's very prominent in the Catholic tradition. It's the practice of praying the Scriptures. Praying through a passage of Scripture. Praying it. Actually letting the words of Scripture be the words of your prayer to God. And this monk was writing about this and how... And you know, I just really appreciate it. There's some doctrinal things that I kind of... Question marks I had with some of his doctrine. But I really appreciated the way he spoke and wrote about the Word. It's very... Very exalted, very, very reverent the way he treated the Bible. He talked about how people need to enthrone the Word of God in their homes. You think about your house, you think about your living room. What's on the throne? What is every chair, every cushion, every couch pointing toward in our houses? My house too, okay? The TV. What if instead of that, we had this on the throne in our homes? What if instead of a, you know, think about it. Think about The real heartbeat, the real center of your home, shouldn't be the living room. It should probably be the kitchen. It's where we gather and we share intimately. What if instead of that nice table setting, that nice centerpiece on your, what if you put the Word of God there? And it was there enthroned in our hearts, in our homes, and we spent time in it. We spent time feeding on the bread of life before we fed our stomachs. Enthroning the Word of God in our heart. This is what the psalmist is getting at. This is essential. This is so important. The Word of God is precious. The Word of God is life. It's life to him. I've stored up your Word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Let's enthrone the Word of God someplace a little more prominent than on the dryer where we grab it on the way out the door to church and where we leave it when we get home from church. Let's enthrone God's Word. Blessed are you, O Lord, verse 12, teach me your statutes. Blessed are you, Lord, teach me your statutes. He's commanding God here. This is amazing. The psalmist is actually commanding God. God, I bid you, teach me your statutes. Teach them to me. I need them. But the psalmist isn't slack in his part either. He wants God to teach him. He expects God to teach him. He realizes he has responsibility in this as well. Responsibility to learn, to receive the teaching of God. He has to listen and learn. He wants to be taught for a reason, not just to gain intellectual knowledge, just not to fill his brain with Bible facts, but he wants to teach others. Look at verse 13. With my lips I declare all the rules of your mouth. The actual word for declare there is sefer. It's a Hebrew word which means to count. The Hebrew Bible is amazing. They actually would count the individual characters on the page. And as they would go along, they would count them. And each line had to have the right number of characters in each line. There was a certain prescribed number. And when the translators would do this, they would actually start at the very beginning of the Hebrew Bible and all the way at the end. And the rabbis knew exactly how many letters were in the Hebrew Bible. And so when they would have their trainees, their underlings, translate and copy the scriptures underneath them, they would go through after they'd copied it and count the letters. If they didn't come out right, guess what? Start over. They knew what the very center character was in the Hebrew Bible. And if there was an off number, either more on one side or more on the other, and that wasn't the right character in the middle of the Bible, start over. It's that important. So I will declare, I will count, I will recount, I will relate, I will speak all the rules of your mouth. He doesn't want to be taught. He's not commanding God to teach him so that he just knows stuff. He's commanding God, teach me so that I can teach others. Yes, I want to treasure it up in my heart so that I don't sin against you, but I don't want other people to sin against you either. I don't want you to sin against God. I pray God will teach me His Word so I can pass it on to you. I hope you're praying to God, teach me your Word so I can teach others as well. The psalmist's primary audience is God. Even though that's true, he desires to be taught God's Word so that others may not only see the character of God in his life, but hear of God's ways. We store up God's Word in our hearts, not just to guard our way and to keep it pure, but to point others to the way, capital W, Jesus. This is why we want to be in God's Word. Because we want Christ to be exuding from our lives, our mouths. In the way of your testimonies, this I delight. This is incredible. This verse really was kind of the centerpiece for me this week. In the way of your testimonies, I delight as much as in all riches. John, what's your favorite? What's the dream car for you? What would it be? The most amazing, okay, John, he's really into cars. He likes to go on YouTube and watch these videos of these European drivers on these European tracks. driving these. What's the boss car, the one that you would like to drive on the Nuremberg Ring the most? What? He's got different ones for different tracks. He like. Shelby Cobra. They still make a 427. Really? An old car. Okay. All right. The original Shelby 427. John, imagine Carroll Shelby himself handing you the keys to an autographed 427 Cobra. Oh, what riches would be poured into your life to get to take that and then paid your way to fly it over and drive it on the Nuremberg Ring. Riches. Oh, but more than that. The psalmist says, I desire your word. I delight in your word as much as in all riches. I like to walk. I like to go for walks. And I recently found a path here in the Perry area. I'm not going to tell you where it's at. It's my path. I found it. You go find your own path. I found this path. I love to walk this path. It's so beautiful. It's picturesque. Any time of the year. I started walking on it in the fall, so I've only seen it in fall and now some winter. It's just a beautiful little pathway, and it kind of walks back in through some nursery and areas. And I haven't seen any trespassing signs, so I guess I'm all right. But I love this path. I love walking on this path. It just makes me feel like, I don't know, connected to God in a special way. It delights me to be on this path. And I associated this passage this week with that path and being on that path and on this path there are to the side, you know, some brushy, bushy, you know, scraggly parts on both sides, but there's this path down between them. If you just stay in the middle of the path, you don't have to deal with anything in the bushes. You don't get your coat caught on the, you know, the burrs or anything like that. You just stay on the path. And it brings me delight to walk on this path and to walk on it slowly. And meditatively. And my mental picture when I read this psalm is of a person on a path. The psalmist is, he's on a path. That's what he's painting here. I'm on a path fringed by brush and briars and thorns and thistles and all kinds of undesirable stuff. And yet he's keeping his eyes on the path as he goes. But he's not just keeping his eyes out in front of him. He's keeping it, you know, when you're walking, you got to occasionally scan down to your feet, right? You got to make sure you're not going to trip over something. I mean, it's one thing to look out and kind of get the general idea where you're going. But you got to watch your steps, too. Because it might be a rock or a snag sticking out. If you don't look down occasionally to where your feet are, you're going to trip on that. And that's what I imagine him doing. He's keeping his eyes on the path ahead. We keep our eyes on Christ ahead. We have to occasionally look down and keep our eyes on the path at our feet, making sure that we don't stray from the path. Any of you guys ever walk in a briar patch? You ever pick blackberries? We had two beagles when I was a kid. Jed and Homer. I love these dogs. This is going way back. And we turned them out. Of course, beagles are rabbit dogs, you know. Rabbit dogs love the briar patch because that's where the rabbits are. So they go right into them. They don't stay on a path, okay? Jed and Homer never stayed on the path. Wherever the rabbit scent was, and a lot of times it wasn't any rabbit, they just were gone. But it was always straight through the thickest, brushiest part, chasing those rabbits. And they had, you know how beagles have these little thin, pointy tails. And the tips of both of their tails were white. I mean, it's pure white right on the tip. But every time they'd come back in, the tip of their tails would be bloody. I mean, bloody, just shredded, because they've been dragging it through all these thorn bushes, just back there getting shredded as they go along. Let me tell you something. If you want to chase rabbits in life, you're going to get shredded. You're going to get bloodied. We're not beagles, okay? We're not here in this world to chase rabbits. We're here to chase Christ and to chase hard after Him. And we do that by staying on the path. Beagles don't follow the path. They follow the rabbits. Rabbits don't, they don't stay on the path. All right. You think about the riches that this world has to offer. They're like rabbits. They allure us. We catch a scent of some, you know, ooh, popularity over here. I might be able to get a little bit of that. But you got to go through the brambles to get to it. Oh, a little more money over here. I could chase that. I could maybe buy the Shelby Cobra 427 if I chase this over here. But you got to get venture off the path. You know, you got to compromise things in your life. I'm not saying that we can never receive material blessings, because we can. God certainly likes to bless His people. But if He's going to bless us, it's going to be on the path. We didn't get too many rabbits with Jed and Homer. But when we did get rabbits, it was when they chased Him onto the path. You see, beagles don't catch rabbits. Beagles, they never killed a rabbit. A shotgun killed a rabbit. And it's when the rabbit crossed the path, that's when we had the clear line of sight. God may bring the blessings across your path. He may place riches on your path. But that's the place to get it, is on the path. Don't go straying off the path. You're in for a world of hurt. You're in for a bloody tail. You're going to get your tail shredded out there. So just by way of illustration, keep that in mind. Let's seek Christ. What are we supposed to chase? Not the things of the world. We're supposed to chase the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, right? We can't do that with our eyes fixed on other things. Look at verse 15. I will meditate on your precepts and fix my eyes on your ways. I will meditate on your precepts, fix my eyes on your ways. Meditate. How many of you are doing the read through the Bible year? I know a couple of you are. That's awesome. But be sure when you're doing your Bible reading that you take and slow down long enough to pull out one word, one truth, one phrase that God just really blazes on your mind, and take that with you for the day. Don't just it's real easy to get kind of in a checkbox mentality when you're, you know, reading through a scheduled reading plan and, oh, I got this one done. Ooh, check that off. No, find one word that God really speaks to you and lays on your heart from His Word, a promise that you can take with you. We're in Job right now. And if we're following a chronological study, and the book of Job is actually one of the earliest books in the Bible. And so we're in Job, and I read the passage earlier in the week where Job says to his wife, though he slay me, I will hope in him. Though God slay me, I will still hope in him. Who else is there? The Lord has given. The Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So, I mean, just find that truth that you can carry with you in your reading. Meditate. And meditate on it all day long. I mean, you take a post-it note, write it down. Post it up there on your steering wheel somewhere. Don't look down too much, but, you know, keep it in front of you and chew on it all day long. You're going to get more out of your Bible reading by doing that than just by checking off the boxes and getting through it. Meditate on the Word of God. Fix your eyes on your ways. Remember last week I talked about, I challenged the men to keep your eyes fixed on the Word of God in order to avoid the shameful things of the world back in verse 6. Then I shall not be put to shame, having fixed my eyes on all your commands. He follows that up again. He touches on that theme again. I will meditate on your precepts, and fix my eyes on your ways. Last verse. Again, delight. I will delight in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Word. John 1:1, Jesus is the Word, made flesh, dwelt among us. I will not forget your word. We don't forget the capital W word, Jesus Christ, by staying in the small w word of God, the Bible. I will not forget your word. I will delight in your statutes. Ever notice how you tend to remember the things you enjoy? Remember them? I mean, they just even the thought brings the whole situation back to your mind. Brings the whole, I mean, smells, everything. Thinking about, you know, your grade school and remember the smell. And just even thinking about that, it associates it. You bring it back and it's all just right there in front of you. We remember the things we enjoy. Maybe your grade school wasn't enjoyable. I don't know. Maybe you don't want to associate that. But we tend to remember well the things that we enjoy. I haven't had a pop in over 12 months. Hold the applause. That's all right. No, I decided last year I don't need the sugar. I don't need the calories. I can get those somewhere else. And I have. But I've cut out pop. I just made the decision. Look, I don't need that. But you know what? I still remember what it's like to suck down an ice-cold McDonald's Coke. They put special stuff in it at McDonald's, you know. Something about McDonald's Coke. I remember that. Even just thinking about Coke, the logo. Man, I can taste it in my mouth. Haven't had it in 12 months, but I remember it. I enjoyed it. I didn't cut it out because I didn't enjoy it. I cut it out because I probably enjoyed it too much. I remembered it because I enjoy it. What's the word on the side of the Coke can right above Coca-Cola? Enjoy. Yeah. Yeah. I enjoyed it. We don't forget the things we delight in and enjoy. And part of the reason why we don't forget it is because we delight in it often, repeatedly. Oh, let Christ be like that for you. Delight in Him often. Delight in Him repeatedly. Delight in Him daily. Delight in His Word. I delight in your statutes. I will not forget your Word. If you've found the delight of your soul in the incarnate Word of God, Jesus, you will not want to forget Him. If you don't want to forget the incarnate Word of God, you must delight yourself in the inscribed Word of God repeatedly. Keep your way pure, guys. Deny sin in your life. Declare with the lips truth to others. Fix your eyes. Feed your soul. Enjoy. This is for you. This is for us. If you've not found the delight of your soul in Jesus Christ, may I commend Him to you today. May I commend to you the Word of God, Jesus Christ, made flesh, the way to God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Believe in Him today. Believe in Him. Trust in His name. Trust in Him for salvation. Today's the day. Don't delay. Don't put it off. Find delight in Him. You're gonna find fleeting delights in abundance out there in the world, out there in the briar patch. But if you want delight today and in eternity, you'll keep yourself to the path. You'll keep yourself to the ways. You will delight in the way of God that He's provided for us. His Son, as revealed in the Word, in the Bible. Let's delight in Him. I'm going to challenge you, just as we close the service, and we're going to sing another song. If you don't know Christ, if you've not received Him, if you've not put your faith in Him and trusted in Him, man, do that today. If you're in your heart convicted right now, if you're in your heart hopeless and despairing for life, and you don't know what would happen to you if you left this world today, you can know. The Bible has told us, the writers of the Bible, John the Apostle, has said in his epistles, I have written these things that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know. You can have assurance. If that's you today, if that describes you, I want to visit with you. I want to know about where you're at, and I want to pray with you and pray for you to come to faith in Christ and make that decision. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, is your word in us? It is if we believe in Jesus. It's there by faith. But are we dwelling in your word, and are we delighting in your ways? That's the greater question, Lord. Our lives will reveal the answer one way or the other. Let us so, Lord, let us so delight in your ways that Jesus shines with the result of salvation of souls. Let us so delight in the word that Jesus shines brightly from our lives, and others are able to see their need of him. Jesus says, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men to me. Lord, the best way to lift up Jesus, we know, is to delight in him. To delight in him in our own lives, and to delight in him as we fellowship with one another in the Holy Spirit. Lord, light shines forth from that, and people see it. This is our desire, for you to be glorified in us as we delight in you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.